So today has a final message to all of you. I prayed about it and I feel that I want to talk about the topic of, can we have the slide up? Fulfilling God's purpose. Now there are really many different reasons why I want to do that. But first of all, I think it's because when I look back at my own journey, having the privilege to be your pastor really stems from how God spoke to me about His purpose for my life, and that I just, you know, learning to follow His leading, end up so-called fulfilling this role as a pastor, as part of fulfilling my purpose in God. So I think that's one reason why I hope that whatever I can learn, I have learned to the past few years, I can just impart to you before you go. Right? I also remember, right, incidentally, that last year, at the start of the year, I preached about seeking God's purpose. I think it's a good time, 1 year on, to follow up. I know that after that message, right, many of you, in your own ways, you have really been trying to seek out God's purpose for your life. So I think it's helpful for us to take it maybe a step further. And I know that last week, you know, even as Pastor Daniel came to speak, with so many things, so many young people responding, I felt it's good, right, for me to share about this topic, not in a very abstract way, because I think sometimes we think about fulfilling God's purpose, it's like, wow, so big thing. But I just hope to share four very simple, very well-known, very practical steps that you can take, right? A bit like what he shared last week, everything two-word one, right? That you can take from here and start in the right direction. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes, good. Okay, so very quickly, the first step is to dream big. Everyone say, dream big. Yeah. Right, dream big. Do not give in to fear, but give in to faith. You see, God loves us so much that He gives us big dreams. Every single one of us. You know, God is not like give us a big dream to scare out of our wits. Right, but the reason God gives us dreams is because He wants to bring us on an adventure. Right? We always talk about we have a relationship with God. So I always believe that it's out of our relationship with God that He gives us these dreams so that we learn to have faith, all right, rather than to give in to fear. So actually a classic example would be the person of Abraham. If you look at Hebrews verse 11, maybe I can just read to you some parts of it. In Hebrews 11 it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Alright, maybe I skip on to verse 11. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So when you look at Abraham's life, this whole idea of going out to where he did not know where he was supposed to go, and this whole idea of really being so old already but still being promised a son. Right? It shows us that when God gives us a dream, the dream can come with uncertainty. Right? When he had to go out. And the dream also can come with that prospect of failure. Because as a father and as a man, right, so old, the wife barren, there's really a chance, right, under natural, normal circumstances that they cannot produce a child. Right, so young people, this is something that we need to know, that when God gives you a dream, the dream is not so-called foolproof one. Okay, we believe God in His own sovereignty can bring things to pass, but that doesn't mean it's so foolproof to the extent that there's no uncertainty at all, and that doesn't mean that there's no chance of failure. Right? If you don't so-called like lay hold of it, you don't trust in God, something can still so-called like detour or whatever. Right, so there's always that prospect of uncertainty and failure. And this, I know, is something that as human beings we don't like. We like for everything to be kind of in order for us, especially Singaporeans, when we leave the house, we know everything is predictable. Like you check the app, MRT says 5 minutes means, actually 5 minutes cannot, right? 3 minutes or 2 minutes, right? Must mean 2 minutes, cannot even be 1 minute short. So that's the kind of mindset that we have. But when it comes to the dream that God gives to us, there's always that element of uncertainty and prospect of failure. That is why we can easily be afraid, but that is also why we need to have faith. Right? To look to God and say that we don't give in to fear. Fear will always be there, but to say that God, we turn away from looking at our fear to just looking at You and embracing the dream with faith. You get what I'm trying to say here? Right? So I think it's important for us to do that. Now, I just want to add on a bit more by just sharing that, you know, as I pastor young people, I realize that it's not so uncommon to come across young people who have a dream to be a pastor or to be a missionary, for example, right, using our familiar context in the church environment. So I realize it's quite easy for us to do that, but sometimes we feel very scared, right? How many of you not scared? One, raise your hand. I will recruit you immediately, or rather Pastor Tina will recruit you, right? We all will be scared. But this is what I learned, right? Thank God that He worked in my life in a certain way, is that I realized that there was a certain juncture of my life, maybe as early as the age of 14, I kind of got the idea that maybe I'll one day be a pastor. But to be honest, it's just about me, alright? Maybe one day I'll become a pastor, and then after that I just kind of, you know, I wouldn't say I give in to fear, but I just kind of backslided and all that. Right? Until one day I came back to the Lord, and through God's word, through praying, I began to get a bigger picture of more than just myself. I began to get a picture of actually God's heart for the world. Began to learn how to pray for nations, even though I haven't traveled anywhere before, but learn to pray for nations. And I realized that it is in that so-called big picture that I began to see that actually God, you know, the big picture of God for the world is like a jigsaw puzzle. And I'm only one small piece. So this helped me to overcome any kind of apprehension that I have to be a pastor. Because I realized that, you know, even if I were to really be one and it's really something, but actually I'm one of how many thousands of pastors and missionaries in the world, right? So many ordinary men have gone before us. They were pastors, they were leaders, bishops, or even serving God in the secular place. Right? It shows us that if you have a dream that is that big, it's possible to overcome the fear that we have. Right, so I know that even right now as I'm talking, there are some of you, maybe God is challenging you to do something, right? If that is you, you are fearful, ask God, right, to help you to look to Him and ask God to show you a bigger dream through prayer, through worship, through the Word, right? If you are scared of, let's say for example, being a cell leader, ask God to show you His dream for the cell group, right? If you are called to be a pastor, but you're afraid, ask God to show you His heart for the church, missionary for the nations. You get what I'm trying to say? Right? The whole idea is that as you begin to see God's big picture, you realize that actually we're at the end of the day just one small part. Right? We still have our fears, but when you capture that sense of big dream from the God, that's why I say you must be dream big, right? You are able more, right, to step out in faith. And that is important because on the other hand, if you are only just too focused on the dream, you realize that, like now that I have been a pastor and moving on, well, if I only think about being a pastor, actually by the time I'm age 25, I'll be like, I think done already. So what's next? Right? So it's really important for us to dream big with God. Right? Everyone say again, dream big. Right? So fulfill God's purpose for your life by dreaming big. Don't give in to fear, but have faith. Now the second thing is to start small. Everyone say, start small. Okay. Alright. And the whole idea is not giving in to pride, but being humble. You see, when you dream big, it's quite hard sometimes, right? When you are so caught up with the dream that you are not really able to distinguish what is so-called pride versus like, you know, confidence, right? So that's important for us to actually start small. Right? And if you look at the example of Joseph in the book of Genesis 39, if you can slide, I think you all are familiar with this story, so we won't read through, but you all know, right? Joseph was a dreamer, he has big dreams, and then he kind of like talked to his brothers about his big dreams, but long story cut short, he ended up in a prison. So I'm not saying that when you have dreams, you cannot share and all that, but we have to really be careful that our dreams, right, we match it up with actions. And very often, you start from something small. And if you do that, like Joseph, you begin to see, like when Joseph, he was in the prison, he was so faithful that the prison warden entrusted him to everything. And while the Bible doesn't say that explicitly, I believe that the reason why later on Joseph was able to rise up to literally being the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful country of the world, but at that time, by the way, you know, yeah, that he had his training back in those days when he was in the prison. Right. So I want to commend to you that it's important for us to, while we dream big, but also to complement it by starting small. In fact, I want to say that if you don't start small, actually your dream will just be a dream. Right? Because when you're not there, you're not ready. If you don't start small, actually you've got nowhere else to start. Right? So it's important for us to start small. Right? In my case, as a pastor, you know, I didn't like from day one, I stand up here to talk. You know, some of my older friends will know that when I stand up here, maybe in my early days, I will, you know, yeah, or okay. Right, but I remember one very interesting thing, even way before, like, my years of being a pastor, because basically we do all kinds of things, lah, right, camp, logistics, admin, right, so there was one camp, where I was the logistics IC, right, so you must affirm people like Gid, whoever, to do all the logistics, because it's hard work, right, I never knew that logistics is so much work, you know. Yeah. But that one also made me realize that actually we are quite wasteful. First we cater food, and then that we were having a camp in a school, Queensway Secondary School. So over the weekends there's nobody to clear the trash. So you know we eat already, you just anyhow put the styrofoam back. Right? What happened was that we overflow the, you know, even those green truck, but not truck, the thing, right, like those, the bigger one, the bigger bin they put, transfer over, that one also filled. So the whole school, I think nobody realized, but it's full of rubbish, lah. Right, so my friend and I, we were thinking, what should we do? We still got like 2 more days to go, right, before someone comes in to clear the trash. Right, so after doing logistics a few times, I realized that actually it trains you to think out of the box. So I say, hey, I used to stay in Commonwealth. You know, Commonwealth, I know where exactly those rubbish collection center is. I say, hey, you drive the van lah, but don't tell Pastor Vic, because that time Pastor Vic came home, so I scared where he scold us for using the van to transport rubbish. So I think even to today he doesn't know. Is he here? No, right? Okay, so anyway, we jam-packed. The whole van is really full of rubbish. We can just smell it as we go along, right? But that's not the interesting part. When we arrive at a place, then we just clear and clear. Then suddenly, the real truck came. And, okay, not to demean them, but you know the foreign workers, they also start to clear. So as we were clearing, I was like, wow, I'm like them. Right, you know, sometimes we use very unkind words to, okay, let me just use it, but not in the mean way to demean them. We always say like Bangla, clear, all this, right? At that point, I really felt that I had a Bangla, right? Not to demean them, but it was a moment for me to realize that actually this is really not easy work. But through that, I begin to see the very people that back in church, I'm here, I say, okay, guys, we dream big. We think of conquering Asia. We send our mission teams to like India, Bangladesh, everything. That was a moment for me to realize that if you really want, right, to be like Jesus, you got to go all out. So that was before my second mission trip, right? But since then, you know, we have been to different mission trips. We go to the slums, everything. Of course, I'm not saying that I'm like Mother Teresa, but I find that it's easier for me to embrace, you know, those children who are very dirty and all that. I think it's really experiences like that in our lives that count. And today, that friend who drove the van together with me, right? I think after the camp, we are really very close because we really went through literally like, okay, rubbish together. Huh? You know what I mean, right? NS guys. Right, we always say the S-H-I-T word, go through all these kind of things together, we'll be good friends. Right, so it's important for us to start small, because without all these kind of basics in your life, you will not be able to experience the friendships, you will not be able to experience the ministry, like learning, reflections, and opportunities that later on in life that you need in order to fulfill God's bigger plans for you. Alright, so what's the second step again? Start small, okay? Very quickly, the third one, it is for us to grow deep, right? The third step to grow, fulfilling God's purpose is to grow deep, all right? And it's important for us not to give in to laziness, but to have tenacity, right? I want to say this, that we all are human beings, we all are lazy, but I think as young Singaporeans, we are very smart, sometimes too smart for our own good, right? So smart that it's easy for us to give excuses. Now, we all know that being lazy is bad. Nobody will openly say, you know what, I'm lazy. Right? But we know how to come up with smart excuses to help us to get away with our laziness. For example, I'm strategic, I'm efficient, I'm effective. Then we just take the shortcut. Right? But it's important for us to remember that just as much as you want to dream big, want to advance God's kingdom, we have to grow deep in some areas. So just as an example, if you look at 2 Thessalonians, this is Paul speaking here. Basically, Paul... Okay, maybe I'll just kind of summarize it for you, right? Paul is telling the Thessalonians that, hey, you know, as I serve as a missionary among you, the gist of it is that actually I have the right to ask for financial support. Because Paul is the kind that, missionaries, there are missionaries back then that, you know, in that sense, like if you serve full time, you give all your work to the Lord, right? It's so-called like what I do, right? We serve full-time, we don't have a job outside. So this is where, good example would be Jesus, right? People kind of just give as a way of giving to God, give to the missionaries and all that. But Paul said that even though he had a right, at certain junctures of his life, he also worked, right? So the whole idea is telling them that, hey, I have this right, but I refuse to take up this right so that I can be a good example for you. So that none of you can give an excuse for being lazy. And it's important for us to know that it's not just teaching about diligence, but it's teaching about growing deep, right? And this can be applied to everything else. So Paul knows that while it's important to grow God's kingdom wide, but it's also important to go deep. And in this case, is to build his ministry with integrity, alright? Anchor his ministry with integrity. So this is something that I want to commend to you, because unfortunately, alright, even as a pastor, I mingle with leaders and pastors even. I know that sometimes, you know, when pastors and leaders, we lose our way, we think about everything else, but we forget to build deep, alright? And even in some cases, we take things like money for granted. Basically, we have a sense of entitlement. And then because we are so smart, we use our spiritual lingo to kind of justify why people need to like support us or et cetera, et cetera. When I come across this, first of all, I'm saddened. But second of all, I'm also reminded, because I know that I can also be like that. Right? So I want to encourage all of you that whether is it in the foundations, in your walk with God, right, you need to grow deep. Right? Or is it in your relationships, right? As much as you want to do different things, but don't forget to build trust in your relationships. Don't forget, for those who are serving, to build credibility into your ministry. Now, exactly what those things are, I don't think I have to spell it out for you. But remember, at the end of the day, you are the one, right, who decide to grow deep. No one else can force you. Right? This is something that is very hard to for someone else to even come and so-called like babysit you. Because a lot of these things that we are talking about, growing deep, it is not so obvious to the physical eyes one. And you can't really tell within just a year or two. Right? It's really about like how, you know, in the secret places, you just lay foundation by foundation. Okay? So what's the third step? To? Very good. And last but not least, to finish well. Everyone say? Well, today you're all very good, huh? I gave your neighbor a smile for being so responsive. Okay, don't give in to discouragement, but have hope. Now, when we think about finishing, what is the one quality that you think about? That starts with P1. Not Peter Tan, alright, but something that we say, oh, you must have this in order to finish well. What? Perseverance, right? But in the kingdom of God, in this spiritual journey that we are talking about, the perseverance is not just a matter of your human will. Right? And I believe that those who run marathon, right, you know that it's not just a matter of your physical fitness. It's more than that. And today, can I just commend to you that perseverance comes from having hope. And hope comes from where? It comes from God. Right? Of course, we can find hope in all sorts of places, but there are times where you realize that God also prunes us so that we come back to this place and we find the one true certain source of hope. So for the last passage for tonight, right, let me read from 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites have raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive of the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured. Blah, blah, blah. You know, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men thought of stoning him. Now, actually, when you read the Bible, you know that David has his mighty men. All right, these are the ones. But even his most loyal men, at one point of his life, right, wanted to stone him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in where? In the Lord his God. So at one of the most discouraging moments of David's life, and no one else, he realized that he cannot find encouragement from anyone else except for God. Now, I'm quite sure that all of us go through seasons like that. And today, if you are, let's say, you happen to be a Christian, but you have stopped attending church for very long, but you have came back today or very recently, I want to share with you that when you feel that, it's normal. Right? I'm not trying to demean what you actually feel, but as I talk with different people, I know we all go through that. There will always be times in our life that you feel that you're alone, that maybe even God doesn't care, pastor don't care. Maybe sometimes I really don't care lah, or please forgive me. Alright? But everyone else don't care. And when you are at that place, actually, you are not alone. Because all of us go through that. I can, in given time, can share with you maybe those moments where I felt that as well. Right? You may actually have people caring for you, but you are just not able to see it. Right? We all go through that. And in this point, it's important for us to remember that true hope comes from the Lord. Now, David was a very broken man. We all know his life. There were imperfections and all that. But he knew, one thing about him is he knew how to come back to the Lord. He knew that there was always this place that he can come to find the true hope. And today when we read the Psalms, we can receive so much encouragement. But do you think that David wrote the Psalms in aircon room? No, a lot of this come out from the deepest moments of his pain. So I want to encourage you, if you happen to be in a situation that you are about to quit, please do not quit. Alright, turn to your neighbor and tell them do not quit. Alright, but I know that when I say this, you all will be like, hey, this Pastor Peter very ironic, he's going to quit and he tells us don't quit. Ironic, right? Like hypocrite. Okay, so that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that you can never like quit something and then move on something. There will always be seasons in life. But what I'm trying to say is that don't quit if the reason is because of discouragement. I'm sure if we are honest enough, we know what discouragement is. Right? So please, if you are in a situation where you are discouraged, know that it's not time to throw in the towel. But this is the point of time that you can return to God and really draw close into intimacy with Him and find Him as the only true source of hope. Now, one thing I really feel that I can be quite thankful for all these years is that, as I serve as a pastor, I have never complained about quitting before. Right? The time that I the time that I said I want to quit, actually only once lah, that is like, I know it's time to go, and that has been the one time ever since. Right, and the reason I can so-called don't complain about quitting, all right, like what Pastor Daniel said, must shut up, right? Okay, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm very good here or what, but I'm just sharing with you that at the end of the day, I believe that if I can do it, all of you can. Right, but the reason is that I look back at my life, every time I go through a very difficult time, okay, sometimes it takes me a while, but eventually God will remind me why, for example, I started serving in the first place. You know, he'll remind me of verses that I've read before that reminds me that actually my reward is him and him alone, right? In this sometimes so-called thankless job, I'm not trying to gain anyone's approval, but ultimately, I'm trying to fulfill God's purpose for my life. You get what I'm trying to say here? So I encourage you because I know, right, at any point of time when you think about your dreams, when you actually get started, even if you start small and you grow deep, there will still come discouragement. Right? People around you may still turn against you at some point of time. And in those seasons, it's good to remember to find hope in God. Alright, so what's the last step? It is to finish well. Okay, so last slide to recap. Number one. Alright, don't give in to fear, but have faith. Number two. Right, don't give in to pride, but have humility. Number three. Alright, don't give in to laziness, but have tenacity. And number four. Okay, not bad, we finished this sermon well. Alright, don't give in to, what's that? Give me what? Discouragement. Alright, but have hope. Alright, so with this, I want to wrap up by saying that, you know, when I look back at, my life. Actually, I'm also preaching to myself. Right? I'm not telling you as if I've been there and done that. But as I talk about, let's say, finishing well, I also know that I'm beginning a new season of my life. So I need to tell myself to start my new season well and to finish it well. Right? I don't know how long the new season will take, but I know that I need to keep finding hope in God to do so. And I just want to share this with you, that there is really no better thing in this life than fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Right? Things like, when you look at 2018, things like your exams, for the older ones, finding a partner in life, you know, starting a new job, experiencing like joy in your relationships, all these things are great, right? And it's also part of God's purpose in some way. But don't just look at these things. But ultimately, start by asking God, what is His purpose, vision, and dream for your life? And then just work according to the steps that I share with you tonight. So tonight, even if you are not a Christian, or if you are a brand new Christian, I also want to share with you that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Tonight, if you are willing to open your heart to Jesus, He too can show you what that is. Maybe your circumstances are very difficult, you come from a difficult family, but He has. Alright, so after this service, you can maybe even ask one of your friends to share more about his own life, so they can get a glimpse, right, and get your friend to maybe just guide you more. Okay, so maybe we can just end off by letting me just pray for all of you, right? And as I do that, can I invite all of us to stand? And we just want to pray for all of you, pray for the leaders of this church, pray for different months before I hand over back to Pastor Tina. Thank you. And why don't we just close our eyes for a moment, just be still. And if there's really something that you feel that you also need to make a personal response to the Lord, just take a moment to pray to Him as well before I just lead us in a prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to thank you for all my young friends, and thank you for giving me the privilege to be part of this family and the honor to be their pastor. Father, I want to commit each one of them into your hands. Lord, I know that you have a plan and purpose for them. Even for those who may not have yet known you, even for those who are very near to from you, even for those who might have been far off but are trying to seek a way to return to you. Lord, you have a plan and purpose for each one of them. And today I just pray that, Lord, you will speak to them once again. Remind them, Lord, of what the bigger picture you have for this generation, for the world. Lord, so that at any juncture, as you lead them in their own following of you, that for those who are called to be on an adventure with you, Lord, though there might be fear, but they will learn how to look to you and find faith for God. They will see that at the end of the day, that you have so much in store for them, that they are just one of many other people joined together to pursue you and to pursue the dream together, Lord. I thank you also that you have taught us what it means to be humble. Lord, sometimes it's not easy, but I just pray that you help them to come, Lord, and to be willing to start anywhere so that they will be able to be journeying towards that goal and dream that you have for their lives. I pray for the ability to build deep. Lord, there are so many things that can be talked about in terms of building that, but I also pray that as each one learn from their mentors and leaders, that they'll be open, they'll be willing to allow these mentors to correct them and to affirm them, O God. And lastly, I pray for everyone here that they will finish well. Lord, young people, they have so many more years to go. Lord, I know it's not easy sometimes, but I just pray that you help them to journey to the end. Sometimes they might go through seasons where they are alone, where they feel alone. Sometimes they will go through tunnels that they cannot see the light. But would you just show them the hope that they have in you through your word, through prayer, through encouragement from everywhere, O God. So we thank you and just commit them to your hands, that as you work in your lives, they will truly be who you want them to be. I also want to pray for all our leaders, our supervisors, for my staff team, Tina, Sam, Fang, and even Titus. Thank you for all these ones who have been my faithful team. Lord, I know that you are not forsaking them. Lord, even as I perhaps take a step back from their lives, I know whatever vacuum there might be, it's also an opportunity for them to learn to trust you more, God. So whatever loss they might feel or experience or uncertainty that comes their way, Lord, use that as a moment of discipleship to prune them to be more and more dependent on you. So we thank you and just want to bless everyone in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Shall we just thank Pastor Peter for this word of encouragement to us? Come on, guys. We can do better than this. Thank you. Pastor Peter, we want to honor you for being a faithful father over the ministry. Because he has served with such a father's heart, he has raised many of us to be sons of the Father in heaven, right? And I think you have really shown us what it means to lead with faith and also servanthood. I think the example you showed us just now of carrying the rubbish, he has done many things in the background that we don't know of, and I can testify to how servant-hearted he really is. And you've always shown me that serving God is a privilege. Yeah, it's never a burden, it's a privilege. So today, we have prepared something special for you. Why don't we all sit down? You can sit down now. And we just want to start off this time of wanting to honor you with a video that Brian Wong and some of them have prepared. So can we have the video up?
Thank you so much for your many years of service and for inspiring a lot of us to really be the people that God wants us to be.
Thank you, Pastor Peter, for leading a new ministry with such a new heart.
Thank you for tolerating all our nonsense in campus and also for your servant heart and your honesty.
Thank you for being our pastor for so many years and for not abandoning us at all.
Thank you for all your years of serving faithfully and trusty. It's really been a blessing to us. Thank you.
Thank you for sowing seeds into our lives.
Thank you for being such a man of God who really looked out for the people and really believes in God's people. And thank you for serving all these years.
Thank you for
study with me, and also the times where you walked me through all the tougher times in my life. And also when I came into full-time last year, for also the guidance and patience, and also for protecting me as a young ministry staff.
Yeah, and I really want to thank you for really being that very faithful friend and also colleague. I think it's been over 10 years that we served together, and I really cannot remember being in ministry without having you around. And I think that one of the things I really learned from you is how to love people with honor, with generosity, with compassion. And I think out from this 10 plus years of knowing you, not a single word of dishonor has passed your lips. And I think that that is really so remarkable. So I want to honor you for being such a man of honor. Yeah, we will miss you. And you're coming back to serve very soon, right?
So we won't say goodbye, we'll say see you soon.
See you soon.
Yeah, and now Bio and I have the privilege of sharing a few words about Pastor Peter, just to just honor and appreciate him. Yeah. So Pastor Peter, I think I have known you since I entered youth ministry, and I can recall meeting you in various outfits, my RG uniform, meeting you while I was in uni at Glen Eagles Hospital, at various places. And I think one of the things that you have always been to all of us is a pastor that desires to connect with us. And I think this morning a lot of the leaders actually shared the different examples of how you met them in different occasions. And I recall that one time, even though I was leading with Eunice and we were very young and new, and you were like, okay, let's go running. And then we went to MacRitchie Reservoir to go running. Yeah, and I think that's just one of the examples of you just reaching out, because I think you knew that we like to do sports and we're very sporty. Then, like, you just made you went the extra mile to be all things to all people. Yeah, including us, a bunch of screaming RGS girls. And I always remember how, you're always willing and able to talk with us and engage us like an older brother and like a father figure. And I remember the first ever question you asked me at Margaret Drive Hawker Centre when I was 14 years old was, who is God to you? And I always remember that. I'm also aware that you're such a good shepherd over us, and when it comes time to be, you are also firm as a good shepherd is, being sure that what enters the sheep pen is good for the sheep, even though a lot of times you don't see a lot of the things that go on behind the scenes. Yeah. And I also believe that you are one of integrity and strong character. I remember once you shared with me about how, sometimes we tell people, okay, I'll pray for you, but you don't really know if you actually go and follow up and pray. And you were very challenged to actually keep your word. And I always remember that takes so much humility to share, even with someone as young as me at that juncture. Yeah. And Pastor Peter, on behalf of the ministry, I would like to also just thank you for the magnitude of sacrifices you've had to make along the way. I think taking over as head over the ministry at that juncture was extremely challenging. And we all know how easy it is as young youth to, make comments and say things here and there. And I think you receive a fair share of comments, but you took it all with so much grace and humility. And I always remember and honor that. And I'm also sure that in your own time with God, you wrestled through, but increasingly you led this ministry with stature, certainty, and conviction, a confidence that comes out of and flows out of your own relationship with God. And through that, you also casted a vision that laid foundations for so many things that were birthed forth, even though at that time, I'm sure it was a very daunting task. I also like to honor you for your patience, kindness, and humility. To me and to all of us, I think, you model a picture of Christ-likeness through your servanthood. No task is truly too big or too small, and serving is always a privilege to you. Thank you also for believing in all of us, for your heart that sees the good and the potential in us. I think every interaction with you, you always make us feel so believed in and so cared for, and that's not something that everyone can do. Yeah, even though a lot of people might look at young people and say like all sorts of funny things, you always look at us with eyes that see potential in us. Yeah. You've always called us your friends, and that reminds me of Jesus. Thank you for finding that space, to be among us. Last of all, thank you for your heart for this ministry. Thank you for faithfully walking with God, for your tenacity, perseverance, tenderness, humility, kindness, your heart that follows after God's. And it is true that we have all reaped the fruits of what you have sown. We honor and appreciate you.
So, Pastor Peter, on behalf of KUS Youth, I want to affirm and thank you for how much you have sown into this ministry with your servant heart and humble obedience. It's been to my honor to have served under you for the past 10 years and to be able to have seen the KUS Youth Mission being the kind of people God wants us to be, become an anchoring value for all of us. You often say how you are very proud of us, KUS Youth, and you affirm each of our strengths. But today I want to say that I'm very proud of you, of being my pastor and having made that courageous decision to step up and to head the youth ministry and take on so many challenges then. May I say that you have grown so much in your authority as God's servant, in the sharing of the word, and in your wisdom as a shepherd to the flock. Thank you for inspiring us with your own journey of courage and saying yes to Jesus, even right now in your decision to move into the marketplace and to further his kingdom. You have preached many sermons, but I think your biggest sermon is really your life journey, how you reflect Christ in your actions. You're someone who walks the talk, and I think we can all agree you live up to your name, that you are steady, pom pee pee for Jesus. I really believe that your consistency in character has been so pivotal for this season of our ministry, to have that someone come and be here for that God-ordained season to really just solidify and stabilize the ministry, not just with your steady character, but really with your concrete dependence on God. You also serve others in humility, and your shepherd heart has shaped a lot of us. I remember as a young leader at Sec 3, how I was paired together with you at this evangelism course, and how we had to hear from God and do street evangelism together. I recall being initially very scared, because I didn't know any of the older leaders, and I was paired with you, the pastor. But thank you for encouraging me, and just being so patient, even in allowing me to go through the experience of hearing from God, and talking me through it as well. You really have been a father figure to me, and similarly, I can attest for my members as well. I recall all the house visits that you have made for my members, how you involve yourself in sometimes the most challenging of members to love and to shepherd them, one of them even being my brother, and how you are one of the key people who encouraged him in his change. Your faithfulness in loving people, whether leaders or members, is something we can all attest to, and you will definitely hold a special place in all of our hearts. And today we just want to honor you for your sacrifice and for being that Christ-like example to follow. And I think the greatest honor that we can really give to you is to follow you just as you have followed Christ. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Pastor Peter. We love you. Together with everyone, we want to honor and pray for you.
Can we invite everyone to rise to pray for Pastor Peter?
All right, come guys. I think it is such a privilege to pray and commission our lead pastor out. Yeah, to make a difference, right? Yeah, shall we just pray for him? I'm going to invite a couple of people to pray, and then I'll close in prayer, all right?
Yeah, I guess let's stretch our hands. God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for Pastor Peter. And God, we want to just thank you so much, Lord, for such a man who has humbly followed you every step of the way, for God, that you have used such a person, Lord, to impact each and every one of our lives, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that Pastor Peter has done for all of us, Lord, and we cannot. And God, even as even as we look at Pastor Peter and then we can see you, Lord, God, it's been such a privilege to be, just to be able to see you through him, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that even as he takes his next step, Lord, and he knows that he can rely on you, like, God, you just grow him in deeper and deeper with you, Lord, and that, will you truly, Lord, continue to be the love of his life, Lord, every step of the way, Lord. So, God, we just want to, affirm that, he's in your loving hands, Lord, and you're just so proud and you love him so much, Lord, with everything that he has done, Lord. Just name.
Peter, just when I was just asking the Lord what to pray for you, this is what the Father God is saying. Son of mine, I've given you one talent. If you multiply it to 3 or even 5 talents in your lifetime, am I going to give you this more talents? Not because you are able to handle it, because I trust you now with these new talents that I'm giving to you. Because you chose to walk humbly before me, the Lord your God, I will give you the greater grace to take hold of the new talents that I'm going to place into your life, into your spirit, man. It will come with authority, because I see the crown of life, a crown that's been placed on top of you. Not because you deserve it, but because this is my reward for you. And when you speak of the authority, the new talents that I've given to you, it will give life. That's what we sung today, the four winds of God, to give life to the sinews and the bones. The Lord will enable you to see how His bones and the bones will come together, because you spoke with life and with authority. Continue to wear the robe of humility in the days to come, my son. Hear my voice. Hear what I say to you. Jesus is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. And when you come to meet me face to face, you will not only bring yourself to me, but you will bring many spiritual children, new ones and old ones, to my presence. And I will say to you, it's a joy to partner you in your life, to see the destiny that you have desired come to pass. Because of humility and your servant heart, I will entrust to you new covenant thinking, new covenant blessings for you to handle. Because that is where truly the empowerment of God moves forth in greater heights. So Father, I bless him. Jesus, I know you are here. You want to tell him that you are going to be his friend. Friendship with the world is nothing to him, but friendship with you, Jesus, is everything to him. So I bless him that he will have a clarity and speak of what it means to be a friend of Jesus all the days of his life, even to his grandchildren, Father. Father, I bless him that even as he worked with the Holy Spirit in his life, he will find joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy to be a strength. The joy to see on his Father's face in heaven, having that joy will be his joy in the days to come. So Father, you want me to do one more thing, to invoke the blessing of the Lord. So Father, in the name of Jesus, the Son and the Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you, and the peace of God and the countenance of God rest upon your heart and your spirit all the days of your life.
Peter, I'd like to release these words to you from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 to 21. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. These people I have found for myself. They shall declare my praise. So Father, just let these words seal in his heart, even as he move forth into the new season, which you call him to, refresh him once again with new hope, and allow him to see the wonders of your work in his life. In the days to come, as he goes on the marketplace, become a blessing to many. So may he be bold and courageous as he step out in faith. May he not be afraid or be dismayed, but always know that the Lord, his God, which is you, O Lord, remain with him and be with him always. Amen.
Come, let's close. Joshua 1 says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do everything that I command you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may have success wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God, we thank you for this leader you have provided for us. We are a very privileged bunch. And God, we just commissioned him to go to do whatever you call him to do, wherever you will send him. He will be a Joshua generation, ready to hear and obey. He will be one that demonstrates radical obedience and just extravagant love for you. God, we pray for him that as he goes knowing that he's a beloved son. He does not ever need to strive, but he will demonstrate what it means to love you with all his heart, his soul, his mind, his strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. God, that he will be a light in the darkness. He will be a city on a hill. And he will show us, show the world what it means to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that he is going to be one that will declare the praises of him who's called him out of darkness into your wonderful light. So, Father, we ask that you will just anoint him, give a deep conviction in his heart to know that you are with him. As he goes, he abides in you, and he will bear much fruit for your name's sake. God, through his life, be glorified. So we just bless him as a Kus Youth Ministry. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Amen.
On top of all this, we also want to present as a ministry two gifts to Pastor Peter. Okay, so the first gift is a book compiled with all from all different cells with our well wishes to him. So let's give an applause to for that. Okay, and the second gift that we have is a Newcastle jersey with his name and number. So it's like a new signing that is gonna happen.
Alright, so new clothes for a new season. Okay, we're gonna end service here. I'm sure all of you have words to say, hugs and prayers. You can do that after service, okay? But service is over. We will dismiss everyone from here and please feel free to just come and just say hi or yeah, different things, okay?
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.kus.org.sg. God bless.